Okay, so we're picking up where we left off yesterday, and that is that initially we had seen the Ran in our Gemara, Maseches Sukkah, in commenting on the Gemara's statement that to eat in the Sukkah, even those things that were not obligated to be eaten in the Sukkah, that is, Achilas Arai, like the two Shitas mentioned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Gemara says that's permissible. If you want to do that, it's permissible. And it's not Merci Kiyuhura. The Ran says, in repeating the Gemara's question and answer, the Ran uses the Lashon that you're not called a Hedyot. And we question why the Ran is using that Lashon. Why is the Ran deviating from the language of the Gemara? The Gemara says Yura. And the Ran, it's all of a sudden, is bringing in some other term. Yet, in looking at the Gemara in Brachos yesterday, we saw that the Mordechai really does the same thing and really goes a step further. And Mordechai explains that when you are called a Hedyot because you're doing something that's not required, in some cases you're actually involved in an act of Yura. He says, the Rav Yoch Kosov, nearly Ikka de Rabbi Tam. Because of a ma'achim liko kriya shema, if a person will specifically wait until later to say the shema, ulis pala b'layla, if he's going to wait till it says, and not be confident just with the plug, then that's merci ki yura. Why? And this line is crucial. Shekol ha'osa davar she'ein atzarech nikra hedyot, el imkein hurga b'prishos, unless a person is known to be generally the type of person that is very pious in all the things that he does, and then all of a sudden he'll come along and he'll, in one area, exercise some excessive restraint or some excessive act of piety, then I'm going to say that's Yura. But listen to his Lashon. If you want to do this, merci ki Yura. Why? Shekol osa davar she'ena tzarech nikra hedyot. Why is it Yura? Because you called the Hedyot. Now what does that mean? That's clearly why the Ran chose, instead of saying Merci ki Yura, he says you're not called the Hedyot.
Does that mean Yura is an offshoot of
definitely related. Hedyot? It's definitely related. Definitely related to this idea that kol ha-pater midover v'oseyo nikra Hedyot. If you're pater from something and you choose to do it anyway, you're called the Hedyot. Oh, and since that's the case, when you do it, it's Yura. So could you try to explain what that means? That's what I'm asking.
So is the Yura that not only are you doing something that you don't need to do, but you're doing it just for the sake of being firmer than everyone else?
Well, he doesn't say that. He's not talking about the motivation. He doesn't seem to mention anything about your motivation. Again, the Lashon is, since you're called a Hedyot, therefore it's Yura. Since you're not obligated to do this, and in so doing you're called a Hedyot, therefore when you do it, it's called Yura. Again, the lashon is important. Let's just parse out the words. Merci ki yura. Why? Shekol ha'osa davar she'ein atzarech nikra hedyot el imkein hurgal v'chulei. Why are you called merci ki yura? Oh, because shekol ha'osa davar she'eino That's why it's Mechzik Yura, because you're doing something that's a Maisa Hedyot. So you have to ask a question. What do you mean? If I'm doing something, I'm a Hedyot. Why is that Mechzik Yura? That's really what we're trying to explain. Literally, it means it looks like arrogance.
Oh, okay.
So the reason why this is so confusing is because generally we've always assumed that these are two totally separate things. Here, in at least in two places now, in the Ran in our Masechta and the Mordechai over here, according to Rav Yoh in Brachos, we see that the two are sort of being used together. If you're not that type of person, again, that's the same idea that the Mordechai was referring to. If you're not Huchsa Chacham V'Chasel L'Rabim, means if you're not already known to be the type of person that's exceedingly meticulous in your performance of mitzvos, right? Then what?
Inza
when you would do something like this,
Inza
then it looks like an act of gaiva. Inza la gaiva.
So
So, right, Chazal said, don't do this because you're not going to be able to, thank you, you're not going to be able to have proper kavana. Right? You're not going to be able to have proper kavana. And you decide, no, you're going to do it. So, how does Rashi explain why that's problematic? Not everyone who wants to invoke the Shem Hashem through the medium of Kriya Shema could do that. Oh, because Rashi says if you do that, it's going to look like Gaiva. Oh, the Chachamim said that people can't have Kavana here. But I know better, at least for myself, I could do this. I'm better than that. That's an act of Gaiva. Unless Rashi says if you're Muchsak as a Chacham, V'chassid l'rabim, then it doesn't look like an act of Gaiva. It doesn't look like you're stepping outside your bounds. And so that we understand. Right, Daniel? You asked me what is the conventional understanding of Yura. I think that's the conventional understanding, the simple understanding, that you're doing something that looks like you're taking upon yourself an act of precious, an act of piety that maybe is not so appropriate for you. Who do you think you are? But the Rav Yah and then the Ran seem to introduce the fact that you're doing something that's not required, for which you would be called a hediot, and therefore it's mechzika yura. I'm just wondering if we could try to explain that step. Why? Because I'm doing something that is an act of hediotos. Does it mean that I'm involved in yura?
That's the opposite. Why, if you're doing something with yura, does that make you a hediot?
No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, why is it shekol? Why is it mechzika yura? Oh, because everything that everyone that does something they're not required to do is called a hadiah.
So I can say that, what the Rabbanon said.
All right, I mean, we could just flush that out a little bit. I'd like to.
Like they said not to say Shema on your wedding night, so now by you saying that, you think, oh, I know better than them, and I'm not just a regular person, so by saying that, you become a hadiah.
But what is what does it mean when we're saying it's an act of a hadya? Yeah, you want? I just want to.
Question.
Oh, you have a question? Okay.
So my question is, whenever this guy is doing this,
whatever
action,
it is, yeah,
is it considered yura if he does it if no one's around?
Okay, we have to see. That's a good question. That's discussed. That's a good question, and you do have that in halacha sometimes, right? That even things that seemingly are totally on other people, we still say that it's an objective isser. It's a categorical isser. For example, everything that's aser mishum marasayin, Chazal says, aser afilu b'chedri chadarim. It's aser even in privacy. As the act becomes like a maisa isser. Or we say, on Shabbos, there's a concept of mechzikim avasho. So I say, oh, I know what I'm doing. I know I'm not cooking. No one else is around to see me. So I'm going to do it, and there's no such thing as mechzikim avasho. No. Objectively, we say that is an act of mechzika mevasho. Could be over here also. If it's an act of yura, you can't do it even if you're sequestered.
You could also say that the only thing that makes it yura is because other people can see it.
Shemare ba'atzmo, Rashi says. Shemare ba'atzmo. You're demonstrating yourself to be such a person.
All right, so if
you want to say it's not called a demonstration.
Because you're in private.
I hear what you're saying. We'll have to see. It's not. It's not an open and closed case. But, yeah, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it has to be that there's some insecurity in the person when he does, like, an act of a yura. So, like he's not secure in his belief that he has to go take it upon others and try and, like, I don't know, make him build himself up by showing other people.
You're speaking to the psychology of this person. Right, and the guy feels that it's not enough for him to do what the halacha demands of him. He wants to do more. He wants to show himself.
Specifically in front of other people.
Right, that's true. I think that's a true statement.
It doesn't necessarily mean that he.
But what's the connection to the idea that you're a hediot?
If a person is a hediot, then by definition they're not pious. Therefore, by engaging in this act, it's like a contradiction.
Okay. I hear what he's saying. What are Chazal saying really when they say, forget about Yura for a second. when I tell you, listen, if you do, you really potter from this activity, and if you do it, you're doing an act of hedya. What am I telling you about what you're doing?
Really shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, in other words, it's not what the halacha requires. You're doing something that's not part of halacha. It's not sanctioned by halacha. That's not the, if you will, that's not the Ratzon Hashem. Doing that particular thing is not part of the halachic system. Right?
Yep.
So now, when a person does that, what's he doing?
He's doing something above and beyond the halacha.
But more than that. It has nothing to do with halacha. Basically, it has nothing to do with halacha. He's making up his own. So he's making up his own religion, but he's making up his own requirements. He's positing his own rules. He's doing an act of hedya, which means, as far as halacha is concerned, this is not something that's required. Now you're going ahead and you're saying, "I think it should be like this. I think a person should do this." What's he showing? He's marabatz, well, that he's a very righteous guy. He's so righteous that he's even going outside the confines of halacha to introduce certain stringencies that are not really obligated, not really required. See, that's the connection to the idea of hedya. Hedya means it's nothing. It's not just an act of being machmir. It's not being machmir. Like, this is a shita, and we do this, so we don't do this. Some people do it, some people don't. You do it, okay, you're being machmir. No, this is worse. This is worse. This is you are in the sense that you're doing something that is nothing. It's adding. It's like a creation. Like, it's like almost. It's almost like a Baal Tosef. Right?
Baal Tosef means.
Baal Tosef is you're taking something that the Torah set up in a certain way, and you're saying, yeah, it doesn't really. It shouldn't be this way. It should be this way. It shouldn't be four parashas in the Tefillin. It should be five parashas. I don't think this keli in the mikdash looks good in silver. I think it would be nicer if it was gold. Yeah. Or if it's nice as silver, it would certainly be nicer in gold. It'd be nicer in gold. That's Baal Tosef. You don't do that. That's not the way the mitzvah was given. That's not the way the halacha was instituted. So what you're basically doing is something that's your own creation. You're basically saying that you know better than the Chachamim, or you know better than Kavi Yachal and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what's better for man's perfection. This action. Oh, what are you telling me that halacha doesn't require this? No, it should be this way. That's an act of arrogance. That's Mechzik Yura. But this is an important limitation, right? If you learn Mechzik Yura in this way, it's a very big limitation. It doesn't mean just being machmir on something that's not specifically required is an act of Yura. Now, according to this approach, if you learn Yura as being bound up in this idea, in that you're potter, and therefore if you're potter, what you're doing is nothing, that's why it's Yura, and there could be other cases in which you're not necessarily required. We'll call it a Chumrah, and it won't necessarily be called Yura. You follow what I'm saying? Let me repeat that. According to this approach, what we're suggesting here for Yura, what we're saying is that this Yura stems from the fact that you're creating a certain halacha. That's the Yura. Your arrogance stems from the fact that you're saying your das is better than the das of the Chachamim, or you're the das Elyon. What do you mean there's no mitzvah now? I know better. Of course it should be. This, of course, is what's proper to do. Of course, is what's appropriate.
So this would be an example of sitting in the sukkah when it's raining.
For example.
Do you think
you can ask me, there are people that do that, so are they involved in Yura? I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
The Gemara specifically says that's called Hedya. Now, if you tell me when you do something that you're Hedya, you're involved in Yura, yeah, then I guess so. I guess that's an act of Yura. There are a surprising number of cases throughout the halachic literature where certain acts are attributed to acts of Yura. And they're things that people do all the time. I mean, I'll mention some of them, over the next couple of days, but some of them are surprising. I'm saying, just working with this approach now, for the moment, this still leaves open the possibility that where there's an area that's a legitimate shita, right? An area of legitimate shita where no one, maybe it's not popular to follow, You know, that's not necessarily you, Rav. The Rav Yoz case, where you're dafka waiting to daven after tzeis instead of davening after plag, that's because he's not leaving open for the possibility that the other sheet is correct. He said, I think the ikker is like this. Right? The ikker is like this. This is the halacha.
Yeah, but that's not.
This is the halacha. So if you do the other thing, it's like you're doing nothing. Do the other thing, it's your head, because that's not the halacha.
So it's a state of mind?
What do you mean by state of mind?
I'm confused exactly. So what you were like, it's how the person is viewing the commandment that is what makes a yuhara. Like let's say someone,
it's yura,
someone is ignorant, we wouldn't call him. If he's sitting in the sukkah while it's raining because he's unaware of what the Shua Lapa is, or because his rabbi says to do that, then would we still call that yura? As in, is it dependent on like his das?
You mean because he's still a hedyo? You would say you want to say he's still a hedyo. Yeah, it's hard to say that's yura because again, it's not mar ba'atmo. He's not doing something to demonstrate that he's on an elevated stand.
It's a real halakha, yeah. Whatever it is, I mean, is that is it dependent on how?
You're asking a very good question, and I would say even from the Rav Yoz Lashon that's quoted by the Mordechai, you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that. Shekola osa davar she'ina tzarach nikra hedyo. In other words, it's when you specifically, I think it's when you're doing it with knowledge that what you're doing is not required, then you're doing it. What do you mean? What you're doing now is an act of a hedyo. Oh, and you're dafka doing it now? You're going out of your way to do that which you know is an act of a hedyo? So that's mechzika yura.
So if that's the case, though, then I don't see why it matters. As if they're just talking about why someone shouldn't have a certain mindset, then you don't even need the like halachic examples.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't see why we have to be talking about sukkah or about marv.
I tell you that you don't have to eat achilas sarai in the sukkah, and you go out and you make a point of eating achilas sarai in the sukkah.
Right.
So, based on what we said thus far, we have to ask ourselves, why is that not yura? All we know now is the Gemara says that's not yura. It's not yura. Even the Ran, the Gemara just says that's why what the Mishnah is coming to teach you. Chasurei mechzer of a hachikatani, just telling you that the Mishnah is coming to qualify the previous ruling. What was the previous ruling? The previous ruling was achil sarai is mutter outside the sukkah. Now maybe you'll tell me that once it's mutter outside the sukkah, that I should not be allowed to eat in the sukkah.
Okay.
Or I should make a point of eating in the sukkah. Because to do that, it would be you or us. No, you're allowed to do it, and I'll show you that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did it, and Shimon Gamliel did it. But we still have to ask what question? Why not? Why isn't it this problem? Why isn't it just like this? Why isn't it like a guy who sits in the sukkah when it's raining and he eats there? Right? I mean, the Gemara doesn't explain why. The Gemara just says, I'm telling you that this is the case. Normally, when you putter from something and you do it, it's like you're demonstrating that your das is more important than the das of the system. You're greater. So that's, you're doing an act of a hedyot, and therefore it's yura. But over here, it's not the case. It's just given as a fact. We need to explain why. Yeah. You going to answer that question?
Absolutely.
Oh, so let me make sure everything else is resolved before you want to give an answer. You want to distinguish. You have to distinguish. Yeah? Okay. You got it.
I also have
it. Oh, okay. So I'll take let everyone say their piece. What Sammy Bald is saying is that when you do something that actually has a kiyum, right, and there's an enhancement of the performance of the mitzvah, you can't say that's yura. You can't, and it fits in with what we've said thus far. It's not nothing what you're doing. It's not that you're being machmir on something that halacha doesn't acknowledge as anything. Sitting in the rain is nothing. You go and say, I'm going to go sit in the rain, that's machzika yura. Why? Because that's a ma'aseh hedyo. Now you're creating a new halacha that you have to sit in the sukkah when it rains. Who are you? You better than the whole system? You're more from Mexico, Euro. But if you're an individual who understands, I don't have to eat in the sukkah right now. If I eat in the sukkah, it's certainly a kiyum in sitting in the sukkah. Everything that I do in the sukkah is an act of teshu king teduru, right? It's an enhancement of my overall performance of the mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah. Why should that be yura? It's something. It has halachic validity. That's not yura. That's what you want to say. Good. And what if other people around me aren't doing it? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No one's going to look at me and say, look, he thinks he's better than the system. Because this is still acknowledged as being something. This has halachic efficacy. As long as what I'm doing has halachic efficacy, therefore it's not yura. Even though others around me might not do it. That's what you're saying. Okay? I think that's a good approach. And it's a nice approach.
Is it just a different mindset?
It's not just a different mindset. And here it's an objective analysis. Sitting in the sukkah when it's raining is nothing. It's nothing. You can't make it into something.
Right?
Because you're inherently putter from the yeshiva basukkah at that point. Eating in the sukkah, when you're not absolutely required to eat in the sukkah, is an act of living in the sukkah. You follow what I'm saying?
So you're talking about two different cases, eating and sleeping?
Eating when it's raining as opposed to eating a mount that you're not mechuyav to eat. I'm sorry if I misspoke. I don't know what I said. But if I said something to confuse you, I apologize. I'm trying to distinguish between sitting in the sukkah during a rain and eating an amount in the sukkah that's not mechuyav to be eaten in the sukkah. Yeah, Zach.
So would that be like wearing a tallit that's like rainbow colored or something like that? Would that be, because it's still like you have to wear the...
I don't know if that would be halachically yura. That's true. The guy's wearing a loud flashy tallis just because he's drawing attention to himself. It doesn't necessarily mean it's this type of yura. It could be a different... Could be a different issue, right? Just it doesn't have to be a talus. It could be anything, right? I mean, if a guy does something that's very flashy, you're not going to say it's mechzi kiyura. You know, I think what Zach's getting at is, you know, a person could be a bal gaiva, you know, it could be a haughty person and not necessarily violate this halacha of yura. And as a person could act in a way, conduct himself in general in a way that bespeaks his certain arrogance, and just not necessarily rise to the level of halachic arrogance of yuhora, right? So in this context, in terms of, you want to add something different?
Well, no, I was going to...
You going to say something along those lines?
Yeah, the only, I just had a factual question.
Yeah.
By the case of the chassid, who said that was yuhora?
I'm sorry, say again?
The case by the chassid.
Said over here, that eating in the sukkah is the problem. The problem was not by eating in the sukkah. The problem that you're referring to was regarding malacha on Tisha B'Av. It was malacha on Tisha B'Av and Shema. Those are the two cases that seem to present the problem. I just want to read something from the Gra, which, yeah, just give me 1 second. The Birkas Avram points out, like Sammy Bald, that this is a proper approach, and he makes the point of saying that the Gra seems to have been based on this Yisod, and I'll read it in 1 second after we take a question from Yon. Yeah.
Okay, so...
That's a separate issue. It doesn't seem to be Yuhara. Would it be being Mishana, you know, Machlokas? Are you doing something to change the meaning that you shouldn't do? That could be... In some cases, there are ideas like that, but not everything that's a deviation from what other people are doing automatically Yuhara.
Yeah.
Right? There are other halachic concerns that might suggest that doing something might be permissible or not,
yeah.
Even though yura is not in play. We'll see some of those cases, but the gra.
So in this case, is it cool?
In your case?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's yura. I don't think that's yura. What's the yura? Because the guy says that I know usually has to manifest itself in terms of a halacha.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no halacha like that.
Yeah.
No, he's talking about wearing a certain color garment in a place where everyone wears one color, and you go in wearing a different color. You go into a base match where everyone's wearing white, and you wear a blue shirt. Is that mechzi kiyura? I don't know if it's mechzi kiyura. I mentioned a couple weeks ago there's a shach. The shach talks about wearing red. Red garments, and it came up in the halacha shiur in your day in Simon Kufayin Ches, maybe? So I don't have a shulchan in front of me, but it seems to recall it was over there. Where he talks about wearing red if it's a color of non-snuim, and if it's a flashy collar. Today it doesn't seem to, although you still have people that are very particular about it, you know, in certain communities they won't wear red, they don't dress their kids in red, and in other places we look around, it's not that way anymore, you know. It's not considered a color of that's miyuchad for people of ill repute,
yeah.
Or only flashy people wear that. I mean, but people wear red ties all the time. You know, it's like no one says, "Well, look at that guy; he's very flashy." Red tie. Anytime a guy is going to make a press conference, he puts on a red tie because he knows it's a stark contrast. Yeah. Shows up good on camera, yeah. Every time you see a president, knows there's always some kind of red tie. What? Despicable? I'm saying no one looks at him and says, "Oh, look at that guy. Who does he think he is? He's wearing a red tie."
He thinks he's the president.
Yeah, is he? So listen to this Gra. So the Gra says, I mean, the Talmud of the Gra records that the Gra felt that the proper thing to do was to wear tefillin all day. This is in Siman Yud Ches. In the middle of Siman Yud Ches, he writes, "V'leilech bohem kol hayom." Afilu masa umatan mutter v'achilas arai gamkein mutter. You could do your business while wearing your tefillin. You could eat achilas arai while you're wearing tefillin. Rak devar b'teilim masa. We spoke about this a few months ago, and we spoke about what exactly is hesach hadas while wearing tefillin. And this really fits in with the shita that we saw earlier in the parak, that it's only hesach hadas is really doing sicha b'teila schok v'kalas rosh. Those types of things rise to the level of hesach hadas, but simply not being focused on the tefillin per se, not necessarily hesach hadas. And you know that the certain talmidei hagra in Eretz Yisrael, they do that. They walk around all day wearing tefillin. Ve'im choshesh liyura. Now this is a funny lashon. Ve'im choshesh liyura. It doesn't say it is yura. You think there's a problem of yura. What should you do? If they have brios, mutter b'shalyad lavad. Then you can walk around just the shalyad because it's covered, so no one should see the shalrosh. But mikol makom, if that's your concern, fine. But if you ask me what the best thing to do is, tov lasos shalrosh katan, make the shalrosh small, and you cover up the ritzuos. And again, that's ma'isim b'chol yom. Walk in the old city. I don't know, Daniel. I don't know if you saw that when you were there. But you see little kids, little bar mitzvah boys, walking around all day wearing tefillin. And that's why, because they're following this position of the Gra. You do that sometimes. This is the Gra's position, and the Talmidei HaGra continue to do that.
For what reason?
Because he held that was halacha, that the tefillin should be worn all day.
Yeah.
So in the
people's level of halacha has gone down.
Okay. So if you're not on the level, you're not on the level, but you should aspire to be on that level. So listen to what he writes here in commenting on the Gra. This is from the Kesa Rosh. He writes the following. Leilech b'tefillin kol yom, u'mutter af b'masa matan achil sarai. Ki dematzina b'chazal, da havi manchi tanoi v'amoroi tefillin, kar havi azli l'beis ha'kise? Havi manchi b'som. Yeah, what does that mean? They would put it on, chim b'yushalmi, de brachos, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, lo havi tefillin zozeminei, lo b'kaitev, lo b'sisusa. I'm not sure what the reference is to the beis ha'kise. What is that talking about?
You put they
took it off. Oh, near the Beis HaKisei.
Yeah,
okay.
That's why.
I guess that's what it means. Kahal Azli Beis HaKisei, have a manchi besamach. They would put it near the Beis HaKisei. And Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai would wear tefillin all year round. Didn't matter if it was summer or winter. Rabbi Yochanan, kad hava ozul beis hamerchatz, hayalov shem ad bayis hasamach lamerchatz. And what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would go to the Rabbi Yochanan, rather, when he would go to the Shvitz, when he would go to the Merchatz, when he would go to the bathhouse, he would take his tefillin as close as possible to the base of Merchatz as he could without bringing him into a place that was not appropriate. And we would go out and put them back on. The only thing that rises to the level of Hasach Hadas is when you're doing something positively to do something wrong to the tefillin. You can't do things that you can't speak inappropriate things about the tefillin while wearing the tefillin. Od Amar b'shem Rabbeinu Hagrozo shehitzdar harbe. They say about the Gra that he was very upset. Al hador hazeh shemavatlan ikar hamitzvah the tefillin shemitzvasa kol yom avi. He asked me why the Gra held that the ikar mitzvah of wearing tefillin was all day. It wasn't unique to tefillah. That's a concession. that you only wear it for tefillah, but the ikar mitzvah was to wear it all day. Kiyadua,
it says he was angry with the
He was upset. He was upset. He,
with the generation.
With the generation that people sort of ignore this fact, that the ideal situation was to wear tefillin all day. And he said it's known that the smag was Masaviv Ha'olam, Lahazir L'chol Yisrael, Shiel B'shu Beged, Bastal Kanfos and Tzitzis. The smag apparently made it something of a crusade to go around and educate people about the importance of wearing Arba Kanfos. Kach, Ilu Hayab B'kochosav. He says if it had been in his ability to do this, if he had the wherewithal to do it, he would have been Silvav Sa'olam, Lahachzir Atara Liyoshna, Shianichu Yisrael Tfilin Kolyom. The girl said that if he had the ability, he would go around and tell everyone to wear tefillin all day. He would try to make a campaign. He would campaign for the wearing of tefillin all day. Okay. Vahikil hi zahir shalalishin bam shalafiya chas shalom. Ubanaku yachal hi zahir lekaim mitzvah. Ubachol shal mekaim haloshan shmona mitzvos. Uliyuhur, I'm skipping a little bit. Uliyuhur lo chashinan. Why not? Halavai shagam harom yasukein. Why is there no concern of Yuhura? Why is there no concern of Yuhura? Because everyone should be doing this. Everyone should be doing this. So the Gra held that this was the ideal. Not everyone's doing it. Okay. Not everyone's doing it, but that doesn't take away from the fact that what you're doing is something. Right? So the Birkas Avram wants to say that this is the way to understand why our Gemara is not called Mechzik Yura, similar to what Sammy's saying. Zach, should I move out of the light? Am I...
No, it's from my end.
Oh, it's your end?
Yeah. I'm just trying to find a better position.
Gotta get some shades. So again, the Gra said to wear tefillin all day is the ideal. So to wear tefillin all day is not a problem. It's the right thing to do. You're worried about people around you not doing that? That's not called Yura. Why not? Because maybe they'll be inspired to do it, and that's the right thing for them to do. So what you're doing is what really is proper in the eyes of halacha. It's a proper act. Not everyone around you is doing it, but that's what's required. Someone once asked me if it's merci ki yura. I think he asked me in this way: is it merci ki yura to bow when they take out the when they show the Sefer Torah? Because a lot of people don't do it. I don't know, what does it sound like over here? It sounds like that's not the case. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do.
It's a halakha.
It's the right thing to do. It's not like this is a chumrah and most people don't keep the chumrah and therefore if you do it, you're doing something that's not proper. I mean, this is an open halakha in Shulchan Aruch. Just people stop doing it for whatever reason. People don't know. They think that the pinky is, the pinky point, that's... No offense, I know some Sfaradim have that minig, but that's only a minig for those. It's only a minig for those Sfaradim. It's not a minig for Ashkenazim for sure, and even for Sfaradim, it's not for all Sfaradim didn't have that minig as far.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. And then they kiss the pinky.
Yeah, you've seen that, right?
Yeah.
If you want to do that in addition, that's nice. But whatever it is, yeah. What's that? I'm not saying it's terrible, but I'm saying it shouldn't be done at the expense of what's the halacha. So it's hard for me to believe, certainly based on this, that would be called Mechzik Yura. The girls who walk around tefillin all day, that's not Mechzik Yura, because why? Halavai Shagam Harom Yasukein. So you can say the same thing. People, you can't tell me it's not the minig. They're not the minig of this shul. There's no such thing. You have a minig not to follow this halacha? No, people just, they don't know that that's halacha. So on a related note, I mean, I want to discuss this more, but I mentioned this the other day, and now I have it in front of me. My chaver, Rabbi Leibowitz from North Woodmere, just forwarded this to me. It was a letter that was written by Rav Schachter to a woman who apparently sent Rav Schachter a shaila about her son. Her son apparently came back from Eretz Yisrael wanting to wear a tefillin at Mincha. Specifically at Mincha, some places they do that. Some Hasidim, he's by Shachris, yes, and specifically to put on tefillin again at Mincha. So I'll read you the lashon of the tshuva. Yeah. Okay. This was over the summer. This was in Tammuz. He writes, "Barov haMekomos, barov haYeshiva sheba'olam, rak nogim laniach tefillin b'shas tefilas Shachris, Ki tefillin tzrichim guf naki. The minhag today is to wear tefillin specifically at shacharis time because it's hard to keep, for a person to keep a guf naki. Va'anachnu choshashim shezeh chasar etzleinu, and we're concerned that maybe this is not so feasible today to keep a guf naki at all times. Shiha guf naki meher hurim bilti nechonim. Al king nogu kfar kama meos shanim, for hundreds of years now, people are mitzamtim. Litzamtim es hanochas atfilin le minimum. To be magdir, the levishas atfilin, to a minimum.
That is awesome.
Dover yaduahu, she bi yeshivas valojin, rak hirsha ha Nitziv, the Talmud Echad, Harav Kukzal, Lios Betfilin Kohayom, Va'af Bezeh, Rab Chaim Talavechik Lohoya Nichale. In Volozhin, apparently, there was some debate whether or not to allow a certain Talmud to wear Tfilin all day. The Nitziv made an exception for one Talmud, it happens to have been Rav Kuk. And Rav Chaim was opposed even to that, he felt that wasn't right. In Bachar Lomid Yeshiva, Sheba Kol HaTalmidim Yoshim Tefillin Kol Yom, it says, if the Bachar is in Yeshiva where they wear Tefillin all day, i.e. Zilberman's, then Nicha, then fine, that's not doing anything wrong. Aval, She Yilmad B'Yeshiva Shelo Keinagu, you're going to come here, sit in Yeshiva, everyone doesn't wear Tefillin here all day. I don't know what goes on upstairs, but at least in the Beis Medrash, I didn't see anyone wear Tefillin. Right? Could be we have some closet Tefillin wearers upstairs, I don't know. So it's possible, but vade lo yisparshu advarim kemechsi kiyura. He says it's not enough to call this mechsi kiyura elo kiyura mamish. He says this is not mechsi kiyura. It's not just shmek of yura. He says that is like the height of arrogance.
But why? That's halachic basis.
It's obvious. What I'm saying, it's obviously not in line with this gra. Vakadosh Baruch Hu, who kail mistat there, v'nocha chatzelam elokim shalonu, alina linhog b'tznius, linhog kenistar. We have to sort of act in the midas of Vakadosh Baruch Hu to act more humbly, not to come and sit in a base manager full of talmidei chachamim who are not wearing tefillin and say, basically, you guys don't know what you're doing. Shelo yeh bolit, you shouldn't stick out bein shara noshim b'divor b'malbush oban haga. You shouldn't distinguish yourself in the way you speak, in the way you act, in the way you dress. So that those things would be yura v'yesh b'zeh mishum midas hatznius. That's all in terms of midas hatznius, which is a proper midah. Now there were others that ruled a little differently on this issue.
Again, who was this?
That was Rav Herschel Schachter, who's one of the more prominent talmidim of the Rav Zatzal. So Rav Nevenzal, who I think was, I don't think he's still considered the chief rabbi of the Old City. I think he's now called the former chief rabbi of the Old City. But he was Talmud Chacham that many people know and certainly acknowledge. What's that? Yeah, they like him in a tale. It could be that this is where this kid was. So he writes the following. Yesh hanogim betainios lahaniach tefillin b'mincha v'hatam ki haguf naki, you know, it's flatulating. There's no eating. You can make now. You can make 100 brachos because you're making either one or two brachos. Says, I don't know why you shouldn't put it on at mincha. Now again, you have to understand Rav Nevenzal lives in the Old City, and it's possible that you know if he's in the epicenter of these groniks, it's no big deal. Right? If you're davening, then you have to have a gufnaki. If you have a gufnaki, why shouldn't you put on tefillin? So he quotes Mori v'chamizal hagon Rav Elazar Yehuda Finkel Zatzal Rosh Hashivas Mir. V'meshach nun shanim his palo biyichidus mincha. He davened mincha biyichidus for 50 years. Why? In order that he could put on tefillin betzina. He wanted to be able to put on tefillin privately, so he put on tefillin. He says that the Brisk Rav did this. Gam Adonainu Marin Rabbeinu Zal Nahakin B'Tekufa Misuyamet. I'm assuming that means with Shlomo Zalman. V'ayin B'Bir Halacha Dibra Maskel B'Shas V'chein Tzarech Lahadif Shatz Im Tefillin Ki HaTefillin B'Tefillin Chashuv Yosef V'Yesh Ba Yosef Kabbalos all mafla shemayim. You should try to get a chazan also who wears tefillin. Then he says, Hesach hadas, hu machlokas ha'ariva agro, la'arit tzarech le'choshe korega v'reva ha'tefillin, la'agro abdai shalal yeshen, v'lo'inag b'kalas rosh, v'adraba, yinochin kol yom, v'im b'zeh mishum yura. So this Rav Nevanzal seems to be in line with what the Gra said and what was attributed to the Gra, that there's no problem of Yura. Rav Shachter felt at least in our climate it was not proper. I'll tell you the what? Sort of puts Rav Shachter's psak into a certain context. He says I don't think it's arrogant. Rav Amital said, I don't think it's arrogant. Halachically, this practice is not arrogant, otherwise inappropriate. In fact, technically the opposite is true. But I belong to a different generation. I've been fortunate enough to pray with some of our Gidolim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Yitzchak Weiss. He was a posek. Rav Minchas Yitzchak, who we've mentioned in the past, Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer, and Rav Aaron Kotler. And I never saw any of them recite Mincha wearing tefillin. So he says, not one in the previous generation would have considered wearing tefillin for Mincha when the Gedolim did not. No one would have ever done that. You look at the Gedolim, no one, they're not doing it. I'm not going to do it. Despite what the technical halacha may suggest. 30 years ago, I was told by Rabbi Bergman, the son-in-law of Rav Shach, and a close disciple of the Chazon Ish, that he once decided to build a sukkah according to all the specifications of the Chazon Ish, without any nails. On the eve of sukkahs, he suddenly thought, how can I have a mahudr sukkah, quote-unquote, when my grandfather did not. He immediately took some nails and fastened them into a sukkah. Now, I don't know what that means, but he felt like that's called not proper. This is not halacha now. This is sort of hashkafa. Meta halacha. Rav Amital is saying, listen, you want to ask me strictly what's Alpidin the case? I don't think it's Yura. Like the Graal, maybe like Rav Nevanzal. But you ask me, do I think it's appropriate? That I could tell you that I saw by all the Gedolim in the previous generation that they didn't do it, and during that generation, no one would have had the chutzpah, he didn't use that word, but you know, no one would have had the chutzpah to start doing that. Rav Aaron Kotler is not doing it, Rav Moshe Feinstein is not doing it, Shlomo Zalman is not doing it, all of a sudden you're going to, that would be considered something of a, if not halachic yuhura, maybe philosophical yuhura. I think that's what he's talking about. He's saying that there is an idea of yura in halacha, and maybe there's an idea of yura in hashkafa.
Well,
that's important.
What if you're not doing? What if your intention is simply, I want
to. So, interesting. If a guy's really on that level, then maybe it's different. I mean,
I don't even know if he's on a certain level or whatever. He wants to better himself. So he
I'm saying, but maybe that's not the way to do it. As I've been to chasanas where. Chassid and Kala walk down, and everyone's standing up. Rav David Feinstein's sitting there. Rav David Feinstein's not moving. And everyone around him is getting up. Like, what does that say? What does a guy say when he's sitting two seats down from Rav David Feinstein? Rav David Feinstein's sitting, and this guy's getting up. So what is he saying? He's saying, listen, oh, Rav David, I feel bad. He doesn't really know the halacha. Like, what's he saying? That, I don't know. Isn't that a form of doing something in front of a gadol and basically saying, you're doing something better, or you're doing an elevated thing? I mean, there are things you're not supposed to do in front of your Rebbe because it looks like you're showing the Rebbe that you're more of a parish than he is. Right? Unless this person is known to be a chassid and a parish across the board. Then it's allowed.
If you're sitting in a shul and you're sitting in a shul and they started saying Kaddish and everybody stood up and he didn't, would you be a jerk for standing up?
I would think so.
Really?
I don't know, you think
so?
First of all, in Rav Avadi's shul, they're not going to be standing because
he's
in
your shul, whatever, and he doesn't stand up.
I don't know. That's a little different. That's a little different. I don't think he would be. I don't think he would be doing that. I don't think he would sit in the shul while standing up. That's a different reason. That's what you asked me before about doing a minig in violation of the minig amakom. That's not just yura. That's another technical problem being yishana odom neimachlokas. You're not allowed to come into a place where there's a minig amakom and say, okay, you minig amakom. Very nice, but I have a different minute. Not allowed to do that. You do that's a violation of halacha. Uh-huh. But nothing to do with yura. It doesn't necessarily mean to be yura. Might not even be yura. Everyone knows the guy is doing this because that's the minhag Ashkenaz. That's just a different halachic violation. This is a Sephardi shul. Everyone sits for Kaddish. It's a little confusing when you come into one of those places and everyone's you don't know, so it's dances, and you just have to sort of look around. But that wouldn't be Yura, I don't think. Nothing else is saying Mara Atma like I'm a chassid. I'm just practicing my minig. Everyone knows it's minig Ashkenaz. That's just a different problem. But I think there's an important idea that, you know, with this yisod, with this gra, and with what maybe what Rav Nevenzal was saying, that you could understand why the Gemara is saying that it's not mechzi kiyura. Because that's a halachic act. It is a kiyum in halacha. It's not nothing. It's not a maisa hedyon. It's not nothingness, and you're saying you should do this nothingness because this is the way the halacha should be. You're just saying this is a kiyum. It's not required, but I'm doing it. Okay, like the Gra said, and supposedly, let everyone see and do it also. It's a good idea. It's a proper thing to do. Now, there is a difference between eating a less than a shear in the sukkah and wearing tefillin, if you really hold like the Gra that the ikkah tefillin is that it should be worn all day. Because then you're doing what's required al pi ikkar hadin, as opposed to doing something which is something, but it's not ikkar hadin. It's a further step, right? I mean, there is a slight difference, but still what we're saying is that that's a halachically sanctioned action. Right, it's an activity that halacha recognizes as being something. It's not where we look and say, that's nothing, sitting in the sukkah while it's raining, but I'm doing it because this is the way I think it should be. Pious people should sit in the sukkah when it rains. No, that's a ma'aseh hedyon. You do that, mechzi kiyura. What are you, changing the Torah? You're more from than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or than the Chazal? Okay. So again, I mean, this is a huge sugya. We could go on indefinitely with Mexica Yura. I don't want it to become that. Maybe tomorrow, just in passing, was that? Yeah, the Rosh Hashiva gave a number of shiurim for a while on this sugya a few years ago. So anyone that's interested in making more of a investigative study of it should ayin sham v'timtza. But yeah, but I do want to just get to this Maratzvius. If we have two more minutes, does anyone have to leave? If you could just stay for a minute, or if you have to go, I could tell you tomorrow. I don't want to. You could stay one more minute. Okay. So Mar Tzvius has his own answer to this question. I don't know if anyone got a chance to look at it. The Mar Tzvius was the Tzvi Hirsch Chayes. In some yeshivas they call him the Mar Tzvius. In some places they call him the Mar Tzvius. Call him either one. It's, I think, I don't know which one is more appropriate. When you see it written in English, they always write Chayes, but his name was Tzvi Hirsch. In Hebrew, it's written Ches Yud Vav Saf, so they call him Chias, I guess. But he's always called Tzvi Hirsch Chayes. Sometimes it's written C-H-A-J-E-S. In some places it's written C-H-A-Y-E-S. If you do a Google search, I'm sure you'll find either one, or you do a Wikipedia, I'm sure they have entries on their both. But the Maratzkiyas basically said that based on the Gemara Pesachim, that to be moneya from malacha on Tisha B'Av is not yura, even though that's a minhag of Talmidei Chachamim. Why not? As according to Rav Shimon Eliel, when he said you could do that, right? Everyone should be a Talmid Chacham legabe this din. Why is that not mechzika yura? So he says because they'll say that the malacha he doesn't have any. What will they say over here?
Look at all the...
When the guy's eating in the sukkah, what are they going to say? Who knows how much he's eating? Exactly. Just because the guy's sitting down now, I see him eating a piece of cake. How do I know? Maybe he's going to finish the whole cake. How do I know? Maybe when I look at you and I don't see you doing malacha on Tisha B'Av, what do I say? Oh, look at him. He's Mexico. You are? No, I say, look at him. He's so fortunate. He has no work to do. Right?
Unfortunate. Or even unfortunate.
Whatever it is, I'm saying, look at the guy. He's in a position where he doesn't have to do any work, so that's why he's being a parish malacha now. I don't say, look at him, he's being so frum, he's making himself like a Talmud Chacham. His inactivity doesn't rise to the level of inactivity because it doesn't really have any tzura of a maisa that's maisa of yura. Same thing over here. A guy sits down, he's eating a piece of cake. So what, you can tell me I did something that's Mexican yura? No, because who... even objectively, what did I do? I just began eating. So you could look at me and say, well, maybe he's eating more. So he wants to say, it's hard to say that act of eating a smaller amount is an act that is an act of yura. Because again, it's subject to circumstances. The circumstances around it that could make it one thing or something else. A guy sits in the sukkah when it's raining. There's nothing else you could say about that. You can't say, well, maybe he doesn't know it's raining, maybe it's not raining in his sukkah. It's raining. That's objective. Right? There's nothing else you could say about a guy like that. Or if you hold like the Rav Yah, you're makbid to daven after seis, not plog. Now again, I guess in that case also it could depend. Maybe they'll say, oh, he just has something else that he has to do now. You know, something else that he has to do now, that's why he's leaving. But if you would do it in such a way where you show that you're dafka not davening because it's not the right zman, then, you know, it would be different. It's sort of muchach, it's boxy, you know, it sort of hits you in the face. Okay, like I said, there's more to be said here, but I think for now, we'll have to be comfortable with the understanding that we have. There are different, slightly different approaches here. And we know that tomorrow we'll be picking up with the next issue. We'll just finish up the last couple of lines before the Mishnah, and then we'll be moving on to the new Mishnah. So anyone who wants to start taking a look at the new Sugya, we're going to be starting with the next Mishnah, the Machlokas, about how many Sudas you have to have, Dafka and the Sukkah, as opposed to the Mishnah Chav Zayin Amal Aleph. What?
How many
Sukkahs you can use. Okay? Zach, be well.